Welcome back, everyone, to the Faded Down Podcast, World's Edition. We are the number one Pokemon podcast in the world. Check those facts. That's why we got all these assholes on the show. So, make sure you introduce yourselves. We'll start with you, Jesper, because you're probably... No, you're the second youngest. Yeah, but go ahead.
Wait, how can I not be the youngest? What the hell?
No, we got Emery. All right, so... We got Emery.
12.
Wait, how old are you, Emery?
17.
Bobby
looks like he's like 23 years old. I'm 30. Yeah. All right, keep going.
All right, so of course, my name is Jesper. I recently turned 18, so I'm apparently older than Emery is.
We don't care,
even though
I
don't act like it. I'm here in DC right now, that's why I'm on my phone right now. Otherwise, pleasure to be on a podcast for a second time now. I'm actually just looking forward to winning my Chun Li portrait.
All
right, yeah. That's got something to say about that.
Well, I'll bring that up in a minute. All right, Jeff, introduce yourself.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going by age.
No,
cool. Well,
no.
Jeff,
no. I literally thought we were going by age.
I'm on the other side of that spectrum there. yep, Jeff Saranrap from Super Rockcast. Real happy to be on. Super stoked to have this whole group of great guys to talk all things Pokemon for this season. So yeah, also the first and greatest podcast ever, Super Rockcast. Just saying.
Someone just called me great. Yikes.
All right, Russ.
I'm Russell Parr.
I've
been on here before, and yeah, Worlds is coming.
Never got
that.
Cool. All right.
Worlds is coming.
Josh, Mr. Josh Hatter.
Josh Hatter, I don't actually know why I'm here. I'll be honest with you. But my decks look really cool, and that's all I got.
There you go.
Relax, Max.
Your hair's pretty cool.
Your hair's cool. All right, Emery.
My name is Emery.
Everyone knows who he is.
I've never been on a podcast. Literally, I've never recorded anything Pokemon related ever once in my life. I'm from Bloomington, Minnesota, and according to Russ, I'm awful at Pokemon.
No, I said you misplayed in finals. It's a big difference.
I don't know, bud.
There is a huge difference.
I heard
awful at Pokemon. All right, Mike.
That's the problem with the community.
Hey, I'm Mike Morton, and I just skipped a dinner reservation for this.
Like
3 days ago.
For the Pokemon podcast. That's why, Jeff, we are number one.
Yes. No, that's that. They wouldn't do that for a Super Bowl.
Hopes over marriage.
Like I'm going to be able to compare, too. You know, I did Jeff, like, on Monday. I'll be able to do this one and just, you know.
I thought you never did any. Now you're a liar?
No, I've... My twin, Bemery Taylor.
Bemery Taylor. Oh, shit.
The one that actually plays Pokemon well? That one?
Yeah. He's the one I made. It's we're like Lindsay Lohan in all those movies where she was
the parent. Swap? Oh,
the parent trap.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The fact
yeah.
that you reference that movie is astounding.
Yes. You're like, well,
that's pretty good. That movie is almost older than you. That movie's right. Older than you.
Oh my gosh. All right, you guys.
I'm a legal child.
This year is coming up to a close. Worlds is around the corner. Let's hear some of your most memorable or not so memorable experiences from this tournament. Russ, you look lethargic. Let's start with you, buddy.
What tournament?
You literally have the whole year to pick from. What's your favorite finish? I don't give a shit, you know, like whatever you want to talk about.
I enjoy talking shit. And then when I activated Try Hard Russ and then I made top next event, that was a lot of fun.
Okay, Try Hard Russ, all right.
And then dead drawing twice in finals. Game 2 and 3 was a lot of... Or top 8 was really funny.
Yeah, don't go finals.
Finals. I'll never make it there.
What regional was that?
That was both of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was like every time I make top 8, I'll dead draw.
It was both of them. Both of them.
Okay. All right. Well,
That's about it. No one's like really done anything. Everyone like hypes the DDG runs, but like, I mean...
We'll get into DDG. Because we can't talk about the year without talking about DDG.
Guys,
this is true. We gotta talk
like,
a little bit.
Ideally,
about
if we look at it, we can talk about it now. Let's do that because they got the first 5 regionals, right? They got 7 of the first 9 and 9 of the first 11 regionals. Is
nine
that
out of 11?
Would you say, like,
did Limitless take all of the European regionals?
We did not.
No. Okay, I just wanted to make you laugh.
Do you think they put in, like,
we got one.
Is this something other people could use? Like, teams, well, you know how I feel about teams. But can teams look at this and go, we could do this if we all just work together? Or is this, or did they just get lucky?
It was kind of the perfect storm, apparently, from what they've been saying. But, I mean, I don't give a shit what these people fucking say. I don't know anything. I don't know shit. It could be the fucking, it's a fucking conspiracy theory to me. I don't give a fuck.
It's a conspiracy theory?
About what?
Like, they said
that what literally it's like a band camp story. One time in Mexico, they all discussed this.
Is this a banana boat? Is there a banana boat situation where they're just like, we're all going to be on a team now?
Exactly.
Oh, hey, and then they just like, say band camp, you just have to go like, oh yeah, this one time at band camp? And you're just like, you're like that white girl being like that.
Exactly. But it's their stories. One time in Mexico, we all hung out. We talked about this guy. This guy opened up about this. And we talked about this. Now we're DDG. And then we started fucking turning up and winning tournaments. Yeah.
Is it just because they're six of the best players and they worked together and made one deck and won, or was it luck? Like, Russ get six of the best players and work together and win 11 regionals?
To be honest with you, you don't even need six of the best players. You just need six people that are dedicated.
I'm not saying that they cheated. I'm just saying, are we allowed to factor that in?
Yeah.
I mean, like, here's what I say. Like, when you say luck's involved, our game has so much variance in it that, like, whoever wins got lucky at one point throughout the tournament. At some scene, maybe multiple games, but, like, it's using your advantages and using your luck and snowballing it into, like, consistent wins and progress, right? So I can name, like, hundreds of times people have misplayed on stream against them, and I'm like, they should have lost this game. But here we are, right? And it doesn't take away from the fact that, like, they've done so well and that they're getting lucky because their opponents make misplays or might just genuinely be shit. So, like, that's more so, like, speaking to how strong it is to take all the best players of the game, put them together, and then they just keep making these consistent, like, really hard meta reads on everybody that no one else sees coming. Yeah. And, like, the sketchball stuff that you see written all about them all over, like, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and all this other stuff, like, that just kind of speaks towards, like, their character and how they might be as a competitor, striving, always going for a win. So I honestly, like, I don't know. I don't say I, like, super respect them, but, like, I'm just saying I definitely respect their success, especially Pendy's and Caleb's. They fucking killed it.
Pendy's not a part of it.
I mean,
Pendy's
don't forget about Dan
anymore. So
he's on full grip now.
Who cares? Who cares? We're talking about the years of you. You don't let Aaron Rodgers make playoffs and then be like, all right, so now that he's on, like, X team, that's, like, right. Not teammate.
All right,
he's
still, fair enough,
but
fair
I mean,
enough, fair enough.
I definitely understand what you're saying, though.
You know, it's about the success they put in. And I don't know. I think that they all just made really good calls. They have really consistent decks. And people just, they're not prepared for what they have. And, like, the second half of the year, they found out everyone sucks at managing resources. So they just decked everybody.
Yeah.
And that was
really
funny. So
I would say it taught us a bigger lesson about the community, too, which is, I mean, I don't know to what degree you guys saw this, but the AM team thing was a big issue. Or at least not a big issue, but I know there's a lot of drama involved with their amateur team.
Because they disrespected their homies, man.
No, I mean, I understand.
There was
but
an
I,
amateur
I'm,
team?
Hold on a second. There's an amateur
team?
Yeah,
I didn't even fucking
there was an A-team leader they rostered before this year people. Picked up. And they, like, they straight, like, just moved people that were on the A-team and said they were making a B-team. And then the people put it on said B-team were like, okay, so you don't think I'm good as these players, and the players that you're picking up are all quote-unquote scumbags because of passes they have. I'm not saying that they are now. I'm referencing what they're talking about then.
People change. So, people change.
People change, but, like, if I punch you in the face 2 years ago, are you going to like me today?
No, of course not.
Oh, my God. Russ,
it's okay, people change. It's a certain people can, like, forgive them for it, which is totally cool. And what they did was they gave up that humanity and the thing that made them what I believe someone's PC still has is, like, the heart of like that kind of family oriented team, and they gave that all up so they can pick up the best players. And clearly they've had success because of it, because they all just started winning and all this stuff. But like slowly but surely, some of the players started leaving. Whether that has to do with animosity amongst the team is in like in and of itself. I know more than I can actually discuss here because I'm not trying to disrespect everyone else's feelings and how they talk to me about it and shit. However, they did have a B team. They felt super disrespected and they broke it off, as Emery said. I personally think that having a B team is a slap in the face to anyone on B team. And above all else, because this game does not make that much money.
No.
I could give a shit.
We barely
on A team or B team or my team. I just want them to be my team. Just know that we all love each other.
Yeah. So. All right. So I like the way you talked about like family oriented teams. That's also the way we do it Limitless. Maybe it like looks like more screen like just like we're all a bunch of like really good, but like it's also how a team should work. It should be family oriented. It should be a team, not a bunch of paid sponsored players. That's why it's called a team.
Right.
Right. But is it right? Because you say the family thing, but obviously what they're doing is right. They got 11 regionals. Like
yeah, but, so, but maybe you're. But just, I mean, like, you're putting this busted testing group to the testing group together, of course, but. Like, of course, with DDG putting on a B team, I'm not 100% sure that personality-wise, the B team was, like, very much in contact with the A team at all.
Yeah, so, I would think, like, at, like in the whole thing, they had, like, 20 people on their team at one point.
Yeah. It's like, we walk was, in and be like, there's 37 people today.
Yeah, there's, like, 37. Was... I was like, and then one day I asked Danny, the owner, I was like, how many people are on your team? He's like, oh, we're down to 5 or whatever. I was like, okay, this makes sense. I'm like, it shouldn't have been 30 people.
No.
First of all, like, that's how I knew for a fact. I was like, no one's getting paid shit. If you got 30 people on your team, like, what could you really be paying these people?
So I mean, that's what they were saying at the beginning, that it wasn't about them. I just cared about winning. And I was like, hashtag, I'm pretty sure that's BS. Hashtag DDG but, win, I mean... I won't say that. The ones that I do know, we're kind of homies and we talk a little bit. But I mean, like, I mean, I use that kind of tongue in cheek because I don't know half of you guys. Like, I know you and some of us speak, but we don't have, like, genuine interaction. That's being super real. That's being ultimately real.
All right, fair enough.
If I had a drink with you at an after bar after a regional and you consider a homie, you'd never drink with me again. If we're sharing a beer, this is a hard times, especially when we need a rant about how bad our tournament is.
I can't share a beer.
Other than that, we're brothers.
I mean, you and I are on a different scale. All right. And Kevin and Zach and I are on a different scale. Jesper and I
are knocking back alcohol after tournaments. So
yeah, back in your fucking room. Yeah, back in your room.
Let's do this. Jesper can. We'll have a glass of water. Let's do that.
Sharing a nice plastic.
Don't share it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't share it.
Oh my god. All right, let's move on from this shit. Okay. What else we got? Jeff, how many regions have you been to this season?
I believe we did casting at 5, maybe 6, and I played in 1. My favorite 2 moments though. By far has to be Azul taking the 6 prizes in 1 game with Blastoise. That was probably by far my favorite moment ever in the TCG, and I was able to commentate over that was pretty dope.
We spoke to Kirk about it, and he talked a little bit about him being immortalized. Well, actually, you and him being immortalized in that moment because you were both commentating on it, and the impact it had in the community. I agree. That's an awesome achievement, I guess you could say. Even though you were a part of it, but not necessarily, you know, playing it.
No, the energy was absolutely obnoxious too. We definitely got a little too wild, but it was one of the coolest moments. Followed by Simon Trottier Lacasse, whatever his name, with the triad flipping heads every chance he could in Toronto. With Articuno, which is probably one of the most ridiculous names I've ever seen in Expanded. So, by far, top 2 moments.
Right.
That was insane.
When I look at moments like that, those, like, we need more of that. We need more of that to grow if you want to make the game bigger. Because, like, those type of moments are fun to watch. And, like, Pokemon is not fun to watch. Like, no, unless you are into Pokemon and you know exactly what's going on, It's not fun to watch. And like even saying stuff like saying that's fun to watch, it's not even that. Like if you don't understand what's happening, it's still not. But like moments like that, you can tell like the coming off, and it's like, oh shit, something like insane happened. Even like we need that type of gameplay if you want to make Pokemon bigger, in my opinion. Which it's just not gonna happen. Because
I think it will happen.
I don't. I think there's too many decks that are just like pass.
Yeah, we just fucking play Shedinja. Shedinja for 8 rounds and stream that. Yeah,
exactly.
But I mean, if you understand how to commentate stall, it won't be a problem.
What are you guys? I don't know about that, but sure, man.
I mean, stall is highly interactive. I mean, until you get to a certain point in the game, it's just like, okay, my opponent can either make this certain play and win, or I'll be doing the same motions the entire game.
Yes, but like the coolest as a commentator, you're gonna say is like, oh, he got rid of his energy. He pulled Mary.
No, you gotta build it up.
I disagree.
This is the 12th resource management. Can you believe it?
One of my favorite matches I've ever watched was Xander winning, I can't remember which regionals, with Buzzwole over Wailord. And for me, that was really cool. Yeah. It was like, you know, it's kind of like a tennis or something like that, where inherently almost every tennis point is interesting, you know, but sometimes it's sort of like the greater picture, you know, where Xander made like 10 plays all in one game, which ended up winning him a game. And I don't know.
Which misplayed. All he had to do was play Ace Roll on turn like 13 or 14 out there in the audience. And then he should have lost.
I feel like you're like,
we need a series of videos with Russell commentating people messing up. That's what we need.
Yeah, there is that. It was massive.
Lived 5 minutes away from Butch. I was the only person in the audience still watching and cheering him on and like hyping him out through all the entire thing. And I was like, all right, Xander's about to hit this double elixir because it's Xander. And he hit them both. And I was like, boy. And I was like, all right, Butch really needs to play Ace Roll right now. Draws and passes. And I was like, and we're done here.
I'm sorry, it wasn't as engaging for you, but I remember the match being really fun. You literally just told me it wasn't interesting because Butch messed up.
Because he misplayed. You spoke on a context of Xander like whipping through and doing all this stuff, but like at full power back and forth. I don't believe if I didn't have the fact that I was rooting on for Butch, then objectively I'd be bored out of my mind watching that game.
I just thought it was interesting. I don't know. I think stall can be too, but I do agree that it needs a higher level of understanding commentary. Of both players' decks and of commentary, to make it interesting, because I think the average player tends to just shy away from stall just because it's a lame deck or it's, you know, slower to play. But I think you know, figuring out the archetype is something you have to do in Pokemon.
And I'll 100% be honest. I mean, as much as I veered away from the stall decks any chance I could for streaming.
Right.
Just because I just don't know the archetype well enough to be confident to do color commentary over it.
It's also that.
And I feel like
stall is also very, like, it's, I don't, average viewer, stall is fun. Of course, the commentator can help that, but I don't think that even if you have a good commentator really explaining it down to the surface, it's not like really an exciting deck to put on stream anyways. Rather, you can have like Pika versus X, or you can have like two rogue decks who are just really aggressive going at it. Like, it's more fun to watch people taking prize cards than decking each other out.
Exactly. And the people who actually choose these stream matches don't know what decks two people are playing at the same time. So they'll put on the matchup regardless of whatever it is. Because I was playing Incineclara.
Because of the players. They're
yes, exactly.
On because of the names and their scores. Literally because of that.
Exactly.
Not necessarily. I'll touch on that because I was part, like, we did a lot for our regionals. We got pairings at least 5 minutes before they were posted, and we did our best to. It wasn't always, you know, feasible because of the time restraints that we had. But we did our best to. We would grab three different tables and try to get the best matchup between those three tables. If it came down to a time crunch, we then went off what Jesper's saying, a name to go with it, or the deck that's kind of being highlighted in that tournament to kind of change up the views. I think, like, for example, Zork Alolan Eggs back in Madison was 17 or something like that, or 18. Yeah. So that's just as an example of like what kind of stuff we looked at when doing that. At least for LGN standpoint, I can't speak on Critical Hit or whoever did Anaheim or whatever, but yeah. Or if I don't think anyone did Anaheim.
No, Anaheim.
West Coast had the guest stream.
They had like a localized stream for the people who were there.
Yeah,
okay. They did that for Anaheim and Santa Clara.
They just went out and pro checkers, because
there's like a California tax where you can't like stream or something like that, like that's live.
Fucking California. Sounds made up. God sure. All right. What about you, Jesper? Let's move on. What's your favorite? I mean, you hit some European regionals, so we probably don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah. But what is your favorite experience from this season?
You've had a rough season, haven't you?
I've had a rough season. So, like, from my competitive standpoint, my best moment was probably the top four in that regional I had in Sweden.
I did watch that.
I think, like, because of the rough season, I don't have a really favorite moment because I'm not proud of anything.
Oh,
I've
come
done.
On, dude. Come on.
Jesus.
Fucking sad story right here. I'm not proud.
I'll take that. That was honest. All right, of course. All right. That was real, honest. Real.
Yeah. You got a top four, dude. Top four, and I'm proud.
It's top four out of 106 people or something.
We don't have to say that number.
Top four is top four, baby.
The thing is, we would have never known that had you not said it.
That's a leak up in California, but sure.
This guy, big leaked on himself.
But like, honestly, like, I'm proud of myself being so shit that I could 4-5 regional with Grand Bull, meeting 5 Sorgs in a row with just mucking me from turn 2 on.
Oh.
Yikes.
That's eels, bro.
Yeah.
I got a question. Like, when you, because you're in Europe, like, you have to sit back and watch all the shenanigans going on over here. Like, how much do you guys look at America's, like, meta and go, yeah, that's right? Or they're a bunch of idiots.
No, we don't necessarily say, like, they're a bunch of idiots, but, like, of course.
There's a but.
there is a but, and that's literally like the way that the meta is shaping up, in, like, in terms of Europe, because American and Europe meta has never been the same totally for all the time I've been playing it for a really long time now. Of course, expanded regional kind of got us off because we didn't really care about them, we just watched them for fun basically. Also, I was going to Daytona, but like the expanded format just shook up so much that I wasn't even prepared to play Daytona really. But like honestly, the decks coming out of the standard regionals at least were like what we expected. Other than the store control, I can't remember what regional that was. Even Nico went to
Denver.
Denver, yeah. Nico went to Denver. He played versus Caleb, and I think it was like the winning in or something. But yeah, other than that, like we tried playing store control afterwards, and we were just like, this deck didn't win against PK if they played it right. Like there's just so many variables that people could do in the US, but then like the European regionals also always like a week or two after the American ones, and then people know how to play against the deck, and then the meta just shapes up to like only tier one.
Yeah.
All right. Jesper, do you agree with the sentiment that like in EU you guys have an upper echelon of players and then like two or three tiers until you reach like the majority of the European player base? Like that's pretty much like how I actually visualize it. And you can answer dishonestly because you have a limitless and you guys got a brand and everything. And most of your people are, like, in Europe. But I'm saying like, I think some of the, like the top players over in Europe, you guys are just so freaking good that like you can play whatever you want and then just kind of swing by and manipulate the meta in your own dumb ways because you're just so much better than like the like B tier C players, which we have here in the US. So like to put like A tier would be like DDG, people that can consistently top 8, consistently top 4, yada yada yada, people that consistently A2, and then you have like a slew of players who are barely making it on day 2. And I feel like you guys just have that. It's like Limitless and a couple of other like 6 or 7 people that, you know, I wouldn't remember their first name, but I remember their last name plus like the type of decks they play, and then like a fat stack of nothing. And then like the rest of like the community.
I'm speaking for myself in this. I'm not wearing any branded jerseys. So I can.
All right, there you go. Yeah.
We have your Limitless logo on this stream. So.
Oh, we do have it.
Yeah. Limitless still.
We don't have that strict rules about it because I'm speaking for myself. Good. But like honestly, I think yes, in many ways that a European dude can go to regional and like top day 2. We're still playing card game with variants, so I'm not sure you can say like you're gonna play whatever deck and you still make day 2, right? And you saying Limitless plus X players are making day two every time.
You probably know what players I'm talking about in referencing X. It's like that's how good they are, but like how it's like they're this repetitive. That's just them.
Yeah. I know, but you're technically wrong because that didn't make day two at a regional. It had day two this season. That's how hard I screw up. But I mean, like, just speaking,
you're the outlier. You're the outlier
category.
But yeah, Russ, I technically yes, I agree. I agree with what you're saying, and I agree that the U.S. regionals day two are more variant than the European day twos.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'm gonna gas you up here. I think that like the top cut. Or like the day two at times of your guys' events, at least like going into the top eight is more than likely harder than it is in like the U.S. And only like the honestly, I would rather play in your guys' tournaments because you need less points to get into the top eight than you do at ours. And it's like a ridiculous number, like more like the extra round we get, like the six rounds into it, like a day two and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, it's
so
sick.
Much more pressure that like it makes DDG's feats. And like their wins and their top eights that much more impressive in my eyes.
Yeah.
And people don't really analyze that. So when you drop a number like, well, they only have like 106 people, blah, blah. I'm like, cool. 36 of them are threats. So for you to make top four at one of them, in my eyes, I'm like, you did phenomenal. It was a great run. It was a cool tournament. So
yeah, but I just
why I want to throw that at you. I wanted to get your opinion and be like, just by the way, you know, like
yeah, okay. So if you look at that, of course I played in a tournament with like Limitless and Tord, and I basically did the same thing as Emery did at US Nationals, which basically just let loose your shit out of your opponent. We also played the same deck, so why not? but like yeah, like in terms of player size, the event wasn't like really prestigious to get top four at, but like in terms of like how many good player were. I beat Nico in the tournament. I beat a bunch of players who were actually really good.
Yeah.
I lost my top four to due to Prize and Coco. Otherwise, I wouldn't have beaten Bird as well.
Yeah.
So that's where variance comes in. But, like, honestly, when I played in the U.S. regionals, I'm going to do that next season as well. I'm already booked for Daytona and Toronto.
Toronto's Canadian, baby.
Yeah.
Canada, by the way.
North America.
It's basically the same players are going. But when I go to U.S. regionals, my starting rounds have always been easier in terms of pairings. Like, I remember I had a Harrogate regional where round one, I was paired. Round one or two, I was pairing against Stephen Mao. And then we just start off there. Like, start with the top 22 players playing against each other. I don't think you usually don't hit that in U.S. Because in Philadelphia last year, I started 4-0, and then I hit a good player. In Toronto, I started 5-0, and then I hit Jimmy. Like, it's stuff like that. I usually don't see many U.S. regionals where many of the top players hit each other in the earlier rounds.
Right. You have a lot more casual players that enter tournaments. You got, like, fucking Pokey Dads and shit like that entering tournaments. They're like, oh, I'm just here because my son's here, so I'm gonna play, you know.
And they beat you, and you're like,
fucking Pokey Dad.
Let loose.
That's not even a that's not even like that.
And he's playing fucking Tyranitar in round two. Or
something. They play like super slow because they just now got.
Oh my god, I hate this.
Oh.
You gotta win game one.
Then you lose game one, and you're like,
yeah,
I apologize. I just got these cards for the first time. I'm sorry.
They have to apologize like eight times.
And the thing is, like, the deck is always like an anti-meta call. So if you're playing like a tuned version of the meta deck, you're just like, why?
Yeah.
Why are you playing this?
Fuck you, bro. Just give me the win.
Literally that.
Polka Dad's out here playing Tool Drop Dual Blade and stuff.
Yo, chill.
Oh, that's literally that. We saw that in Australia. Tanner's dad played that. It was yikes.
Oh my god,
bro! I was in Dallas this past year playing Expanded Gardevoir. And this dude was playing Lucario GX, and he was literally like a turn away from bodying me because he still had like the GX attack, and I was like, I donked it. Like I had like a super hot start, and I ran him off the board. Game one, game two was really close. And I think we had like 3 minutes left or like a couple of seconds left or whatever. And he's like, I think I can win. And he misplays. And I was just like, whoo.
That's how you get them sometimes. Just a misplay.
Like I say it a lot because like we're on the West Coast and our regionals are a lot smaller. And like I was talking to Kenny Britton about it. And he's like, they're a lot smaller, but all the good players still show up. So,
yeah,
like,
that's true.
If you want to talk like, oh, I won the biggest regional ever, cool. I won the regional that had only 300 people, but it's smaller, and all the good players were there.
But the
that's how that Utah makes, regionals was last
the
year.
The thing that makes the bigger regionals more
is the rounds.
The biggest regionals harder is that the mass amount of people you have to get through. Because if you're playing a smaller regional, you just have to get lucky less amount of times, you know? Maybe not less amount of times, but like in less games.
But you should be playing against better competition, correct?
Yeah. Not really. It depends. Most of the time, like when we were in Utah last year, we were playing Utah dodging? Locals. And then, like, once you get past like the round three, you're playing only good players.
You're talking like 2 years ago, right? We didn't have a regional in Utah, was it?
Yeah, we did in last May. Last May, like the May before this past May.
Yeah, that was not this year. That was last year.
Yeah, that was 2018.
2018.
Yeah. 2019. It's 2019.
But it counted for
2019.
Yeah, it counted for 2017, 2018.
For real,
we're 2018. We did.
Was that the one where the guy broke the window?
No. Okay. Whoa. That was the year before that.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right, Josh, I know you've been to a few regionals. I've been with you to a few of them. Let's hear your most memorable experience.
They're all with Zach. First one's definitely got to be playing a Lowland Executor in Philadelphia and just going like 1-5.
Eels.
Hey, you had the wrong eggs. But
that does not matter. That does not. And then one of the best ones was Russell bodying Zach when he was playing Tyranitar.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it was just the greatest.
Yes. Oh my God.
I just watched. Zach's like, I got this. And he's like, Tyranitar.
No, I knew I didn't have
it. Kindred in the Lost Zone. Yeah. And it was just so
all that energy. And the Kindred in the Lost
Zone. I banished that beast to the Shadow Realm. The volcanic.
I was like, I want to hit anything but that deck. Like, I'm talking to him before the tournament. He's like, I'm playing fucking Tyranitar. I'll beat every fucking Stoice out there. And I'm like, all right. I assume it's
how
a good
are you firing turn. That up?
I don't even. Oh, with fucking Solgaleo.
Solgaleo GX, dude.
I got fucking ran over by the
shit. Like six but, waters in the Lost Zone.
The best part,
so
the best part is like, the tournament is like over. Russ is fucking heated. Fucking Tedru. He's playing like shitty night. He does not give a fuck. He's still mad. He's like, I don't even care.
No, I got let loose into two losses. Shit pissed me the fuck off.
He's like, I played try. I would have won, man.
That's massive deals.
Oh, fucking A. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I like that one. All right. Emery, let's move on to you. We know you got second overall at NAIC. That's got to be definitely up there. But other than that, what's a more memorable, if not equally as memorable, experience this season?
That's a really good question. I would say, so for me, I had this like moment where I'd missed points at two apparently very easy US regionals, those being Denver and Collinsville.
Sorry about that.
Oh yeah, I don't remember. Oh yeah, Mike bodied me at Denver. I played a bad deck, so it was my fault.
You played Zoro Rock.
Deck sucked.
Yeah, agreed 100%.
For me, that was like, I'd been playing in cups and stuff, and I'd been driving all over, and I'd just been like working really hard. And I was like, you know, Denver was kind of a last minute trip, and I was like, you know, Denver and Madison, I should be able to get my invite, because every year I've gotten my invite before NAIC or Nationals or whatever, this year included. And I was like, I was so sad. like I had AP tests coming, which is like a big, I guess Jesper would, you know, might be the only one who's like, understands these, but they're basically, you know, these massive tests that have a big part in me getting into, you know, the college
dude,
I want to get
fucking
into.
High school. We went to high school. We know what AP is.
Did you take IB classes too?
So yeah, you guys are.
Did you take
AP
and IB
classes?
They don't offer IBs at my school. But you know, I had the ACT coming up too. Which
are you taking the SAT too?
I'm taking SAT subject test the week after Worlds. But you know, I had a lot of academic pressure, and I was just feeling super burnt out on Pokemon. And I was just like, I need to step back. So I didn't play the game for about a month after that. At least it felt like a month. I can't remember exactly how long. And some of you guys who are friends with me on Facebook remember me being, you know, really unhappy with the game. And
game
so
sucks,
I sort of...
Bro, what are you talking about? I supported it.
Trash.
Because let loose left and right? The fuck out of
and, me. Well, and part of it, too, is that all my friends are like, Pokemon sucks. Like, don't, you know, like, let's play, you know, KeyForge or other stuff. But for me,
KeyForge is trash,
though. It's gonna go.
For me, I figured out this year, I was like, why am I playing Pokemon, you know? And for as much as I want to, say, you know, like set your own goals, be realistic with yourself. God, I want to be the best at this game. You know, like unapologetically, I want to be dominant, you know? And so I was like, you know, I'm going to relax and I'm going to do my best, but God, I want to win, you know? And then after that, you know, I won 4 straight cups. I got day 2 at Madison, which more or less went from my season from like failure to like almost okay. And then NAIC happened, you know, and that was, you know, the single most transformative experience I've ever had in my career. And you know, I can't believe it. You know, like everything that's come of that. I mean, people tweet at me. I'm someone people care about in Pokemon now. And I don't know. I've never thought that people would care about how I did at this game. You know, I never thought I would be sponsored. I never thought I'd have the opportunity to come and talk with people like Russ, like Jeffrey. You know, I've looked up to people like you for my whole life.
You should have. I'm a shitbag.
Yes, I do. I remember watching you win. You know, and I remember mutual friends, but I would never have come talk to you before in AIC just because you guys, you know, you guys are my heroes.
Too cool you know? For school. And so, we don't know what AP. We don't know what AP
bro.
Is.
Come on now,
dude. So leave my boy Emery alone. He's bearing his soul.
You're good.
I've wanted this for my whole career as a competitive player to be able to talk and have the right. To be at the door to talk with people like you and to have earned it, not to have just been some fun guy who goes to every regional and stuff, you know, because those people have their place, but I want to be at the top, you know. Yeah, and I want to talk to people because I'm at the top. And so having had been given this opportunity and been given, you know, Twitter followers and been given the money to travel to other continents to play Pokemon is to me, you know, more than I could have ever asked for and more than I ever could have expected.
Well, congratulations to you. That's good. That's well said, sir.
I want to touch on this.
No, it's all a snowball effect, you know? Success breeds more success.
Oh, God, are we going to get all fucking emotional now?
No.
I got to mentally prepare for this.
I got to take this
to another level.
I want to take this to a level where it's like, you see Emery and the stuff he just said, where he felt he was not good enough to talk to you. And, like, I know, I think we touched on it in Russ's interview where he's just, like, where people put you on a pedestal where, like, it's fucking Pokemon, like, who cares, you know? Yeah. Like, you shouldn't. Like, I get it. You look at these players. Because you look at someone like Jimmy Pendarvis, who won, what, 3 regionals this year in a row?
4, I think. Three in a row.
And it's like, I would say from like an outside perspective, if you weren't friends or you're not in a, like a group of people, you look at Jimmy and you're like, I could never talk to that guy. Like, would he ever talk to me?
That's
which is
me
like
right now.
Really? Like in my head, I look at Jimmy and I'm like, that's a dude. Like,
he's a guy.
Good job,
he's a
dude.
Guy.
Like I get it.
Yeah.
I
was in your shoes last year.
No offense to like, Jimmy. He's not super approachable. Like,
yeah, that's definitely
he's
not.
Like,
he's like,
he
you're
wants
right.
To come over and give him a high five and shit. He's like,
remember that guy made that post and tried to say, like, kicked a dog or something or whatever the hell that was? That was.
Yo,
whatever
chill.
The hell that was.
We chill on that.
He did. Someone did.
Yeah.
Someone literally did that.
There was a whole thing.
But yeah. Emery, I was definitely in that.
No,
like,
he did not kick a dog.
Year.
So everyone knows he did not kick a dog.
Well, and the thing is, to me, it's like part of it too is just like I will never, until I have the results to put them on a piece of paper and say this is why I'm the best. I will never believe that I'm, you know, worth anything. And you say, Russell, you say, you know, it's just Pokemon, you know, and to that I agree. But saying it's just Pokemon undermines the fact that, you know, not me personally, because I'm a legal child, but my parents are helping me, you know, pay thousands of dollars to play this game. You know, this game is, to me, it will only be taking a bigger role in my life, you know, after this. I played this game for 6 years. I put uncountable hours into it, you know? And so, yes, it is just Pokemon, but also it's something that matters deeply to me, you know? And it matters deeply, I'm sure, just as much to me, as much to you, as much to anyone here, you know? And so to me, like, it's hard for me to say, these celebrities of the game, you know, they put, I'm putting you on a pedestal right now. I put Jesper, I put a lot of my friends on pedestals. And before NAIC, I was like, these people are just friends with me because I, you know, like Snapchatted them once, you know, or because genuinely. Right. And now I feel like I can actually, I have a right to talk Pokemon with you. I have a right to talk Pokemon with John, because before I just didn't have the self-confidence to point at something and say, hey guys, look, I let loose for $5,000, you know, and so I knew I was good in my head, you know, nothing changed. I didn't get way better between, you know, Madison and NAIC or anything like that, but now I feel like I'm at the door where I can approach people and I can say, hey, because to some degree they'll know who I am already. And that's a lot easier to make a connection when someone knows who right. you are, you know? So it's just, it's really transformative in a weird way. And I think it also might undermine the issue that, you know, I see a lot of celebrities get interactions. I'm personally very comfortable with people reaching out to me or DMing me or doing anything like that. But I also recognize a lot of people who are in these public positions aren't, you know, incredibly social creatures or aren't wanting to spend a long period of time talking to people they don't necessarily know. And so I think there's this weird mix of like wanting to be approachable and wanting to be like a kind person, but also like there's a limit, you know, like yeah. I wouldn't have signed up to do what, like, literally 10 videos since NAIC if I didn't love talking to Pokemon and want to get my name out there, yeah. you know, but to another degree, if I wasn't as socially capable as I believe that I am, you know, I would never say, come meet me at Worlds. I would never say, you know, let's make that connection. I never would have made the friends I made. And so that's hard for me too, to rationalize, you know, when people say, oh, top players are so exclusive or are so, you know.
They are.
Yeah. They really are, though.
You can't expect people. It's like saying, like, you have to insert people into your, like, I agree that they're exclusive. But to another degree,
but like,
when people aren't exclusive, they end up, you know, they lose something from that. And so anytime someone loses something, I can never blame them for being a certain way. You know, like, I can't blame someone for not testing their best ideas with me, because why the heck would they leak to me? You know, like, I don't understand. You know, I can't blame anyone for that. You know, I can't. I'm like, okay, you don't want to talk to me. That's fine. It's probably something I did or in my personality that makes you not want to interact with me, or just because you don't, you know, you're a certain way. And so, like, that's, you know, I think while people are exclusive and that can be an issue, I think we have to give these people a little bit more humanity that we give ourselves, you know, and that we give people who don't necessarily have their name or their accomplishment.
It's just, it's a competition, man. You know, like, everybody's trying to win and no leaks. That's pretty much, you know, that's
yeah.
what it is.
Okay.
Zach leaks to everyone.
To speak on that, more so of like undermining, and when I say it's just Pokemon, level-headed mind, where I separate my hobby, my competitive drive, and my personality, and how I am and interact with people as humans, different from how I play my fucking card game, okay? I've been amazing at card games since I was 13, and I say that with the utmost cockiness, and I can back it up 1,000%. But I do not treat anyone that isn't as accomplished as me
right,
any less
right,
of a person.
Right.
So what I'm saying, you're undermining, it's like, there's different aspects of it. So it's like, all right, well, Pokemon's here, and if you say it doesn't mean that much to you, it might mean more to someone else. Cool. They can look at it from their lens and how they want to be perceived or how they want others to perceive them. Are they playing for some sort of validation for themselves, or are they playing through validation of others and trying to be up on the pedestal with everyone else there? And so that speaks to the humbleness of the top players, how exclusively and how much they actually talk online and interact with the community, and how much they actually care about how these tournaments are driven, played, cheating, anything on that level. And that's why when I say it's just Pokemon, I mean in a competitive sense.
Yeah.
Because I never think just because someone shitted the game that I'm a better person than they are.
I agree.
I hold more value than they do. Or that anything I do can just be like, you know, taken as fucking gospel as opposed to what they can think. Some of my best ideas that I come up with, like Mayday 2 and tournaments with, is someone posting a shitty list on Burbank. And I'm like, that's a good idea. They just built it like absolute crap. And just go from there and actually message him about it. But like, hey, you could have changed like one or two things and this would be different. So what I'm saying is when I mean exclusive, I mean substance, content, and like the secrets that they'll keep because they're competitive people and want to hide that from others. That's totally fair. That's on their own standpoint. No one, fucking no one communicates with the community as much as I do and Rukan. And that's it. If anyone says that they do, they're bullshitting. All right, yeah. Or they're doing it on their personal stream because they have a financial vendetta to separate and back up their points behind it. Way, way freaking different than my weekly Q&As that everyone eventually pissed me off so much because I'm not talking to people validating their thoughts to be pushed at me. And that's half the reason why people made the Q&As is because they wanted to pitch their stupid ass idea and they wanted me to be like, this is good, or say this is bad. And when I said it was bad, they came up and tried to argue with me when I had no intentions of needing to do so because my time is only so much of my time. So when I say it's just Pokemon, I mean it's just competitive, and we have our own outs to it, but that doesn't define you as a person or as a human. And I'm pretty sure that's, like, how it should feel across the
world. Anyone who thinks that they're a better person objectively is, you know, like I don't...
They're shitty people, and some shitty people do exist at the top of the levels of the people, which is why I talk shit, because you're horrible humans. And when I say I hate this community, there's, like, layers to it, because they themselves think they're better than others based upon some kind of hobby that we're all going through, of which doesn't have much financial support. So when we're backing up with sponsors and people are throwing around names and trying to act like they're better than others, just because they have the word behind it doesn't mean that they necessarily are, and that... And since it's kept quiet in how much money people are getting paid and what they're all doing, they make their own tiers in a hierarchy of levels of which new people entering the game feel like they can't break through. You yourself just spoke to this because of how they like base themselves on performances. And I'm telling you, if you're hearing this now and you're like, oh, I never made day two, I really like Russell Parr or shit, or like you're really unprofessional, Russ, you need to shut the fuck up. Whatever you're thinking, just know I don't think less of you because you can't go fucking X into at some event of a child's card game. Like, good fucking Lord. And I understand not being able to talk to us. That's totally cool. Some people just straight up can't, or some people are far too intrusive where they need to back off. I don't know you like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And like that's totally fine.
That happens
fine.
A lot too.
Never, never ever equate like performances and stature as a human of like you being less than a person.
I think any rational mind would agree with that. And I think a lot of the people who do think that way, that you can't, you know, talk shit or you do talk shit about, I think they themselves wouldn't say,
they don't say it publicly. They say it in group chats, and I get sent the screenshots. And so there's a shit list right here that these tons of people are like, they talk in the community. They're all fake.
I know what you're talking about, even with people who aren't, you know, top tier or something, where they'll be like, I think this person's, you know, like a moron because I beat them at a cup once and they misplayed. Like, people, if people based their view of me strictly on the match that was broadcasted to 10,000 people live, I would be at the bottom of the Pokemon trading card game right now. Like, you know, like as I should be, you know? But at the same time, it's like, you know, people have been able to look past that and be like, well, at least he was a good sport. At least he seems to care about the community. At least he's been playing for a long time. And so I think, you know, that's a really, you know, like, it's... I definitely agree with you that there's sort of hierarchy there. And that it's something that should be thought about more seriously as an issue.
Right.
Well,
like, I definitely don't believe there's a hierarchy. I just think that's a barrier that people place in their own minds. So when I first got into the game last year, well, I had already been playing locally for about like 6 months. My first like regional, my brother brought me to Jalen. He's got a little bit more clout in the game than I do because he got put on that Nationals commercial from 2017, I think. My goal was actually to join someone's PC. My goal was to join someone's PC when I first got into this. And then I met Russ. Russ, like, so many people told me that I was a lot like Russ. But then I realized that I really am not. I'm nowhere near this guy. I'm so much like, I mean, I may think like him, but I don't, I don't act like him. I'm not the same. And I realized that as Russ and I became friends, I didn't want the same things as him. I understood that his team was a family, and that was something I wanted to be a part of. That's still something I would not like decline if I was given it. But I understand that now that my path of being a Pokemon player that I've gone down is not going to be defined by that. I've done something completely different. I've made so many friends. I've gotten this accomplishment. I've done this. I've been consistent. And sometimes it's just you have to define things more than people define them for you. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, just because somebody says something doesn't mean that that's what it is. You actually have to search and figure out what that is. It's not just because somebody says it's a rock and it looks like a rock doesn't mean that it's just a rock. It could be a freaking crystal, bro. Still a rock, but you found out what kind of rock it was.
That could be a fucking comet. What do you say?
It could be an aerodactyl.
Could be an aerodactyl. Oh my god! All right,
exactly.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Well, like, this. We're getting a little off track. I know. It's a little heartwarming. Yeah,
that's fine.
But all right, let's finish up with you, Mike. Let's get some of your most memorable experiences, and we'll kind of wrap it up. We've taken up enough of you guys' time.
So my favorite moments, the two that really popped off to me. Well, actually, I have three. I played Emery in Denver. That was really one of the funnest games I had that entire day because he was super nice. Like, I thought I was actually going to get bodied because game one, he goes muck turn two, and I literally had, like, this entire game plan in my hand. I looked up at the board, and I was like, I'm just going to scoot.
Specifically, I go muck judge, and then he bricks for four turns. So I bodied him. I let loose him and blocked his abilities and said,
outplayed.
But then he realized who the GOAT was and got bodied.
Oh, yeah. I got slaughtered, dude. Dude,
matchup was
made me recognize how bad I am at Pokemon. I was like, God, I need to get so much better if I want.
The matchup was actually in his favor. He was playing Zoroark. I was playing Zapdos Lycanroc.
Oh shit, that shit.
Yeah.
No. All right. What's your other one?
Hunter Butler made top 8 at Internats. So that was like a whole like lead up to that entire story. So Jalen and I just literally drove in to Internats from Georgia. It's like maybe 1:30, 2 a.m. Hunter busts into the hotel and he goes, yo, I have the fucking sauce. And I was like, what is this? This is bulk.
This is bulk.
He was at my Airbnb too, and he almost got Nick to play it. And we were like, what are you doing, dude?
He literally goes, bro, I have Night March in my hands right now. And I'm just like, this looks like it gets bodied by Weezy. And he was like, it does.
It does.
Run into Weezy, it doesn't matter. And he goes, dodged all the Weezy. I'm 7-1-1. And I'm taking a nap on day two. I wake up and turn on the Twitch, and he bodies Stefan Ivanov on stream. And I was just like, Jalen and I are in the hotel room just going nuts. And I was like, oh, he made it. Da-da-da-da.
I don't want that match because there's no way.
Oh my God.
There's no way I'm not going to lose.
No, yeah. No,
and obviously, I top 4 Santa Clara. My matchups couldn't have been greater. So
top four is a top four.
I remember how I met Mike. I don't remember what regional I'm at. But I'm hanging out with Chum, and Mike walks, just don't know, like, I've never seen him in my life, walks up to me and goes, I played you at Daytona and I beat you. I'm like, some childish ass shit just walked up to me. And I'm like, I was thinking back, I was like he walked away, I looked at Chum, I was like, I was at the bottom tables at Daytona, so is he, so fuck that guy.
I don't remember, do that? I'm pretty sure I didn't just walk away.
100%, I'm pretty sure we had like a whole conversation. You did that. No, we did not have much of a conversation. You're like, oh, yeah, we played together. I bodied you. And then you walked away. Oh,
it must have been round one or something.
No, it was like round 12.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, that's all the time we got for you today. Thanks again, everyone, for being on the show. Again, if you haven't subscribed, hit that button. Follow us for every update. We post new videos every Friday. I want to say special thanks to all of our guests. We got Jeffrey Saran, Jesper Eriksson, Josh Hatter, Russell Barr. Hold on. You can fucking let me finish. God damn it. Emery Taylor and Mike Morton. I'm your host, Kevin Kenny, with my co-host, Zachary Everest. And go ahead.
And Jesper's got something to say.
Go ahead.
All right, so I am recording a documentary for a local TV station this week from Worlds, where I've gotten some recording stuff done at home. I'm recording at Worlds, so hit me up if you want to be a part of it. Yeah,
100%. And again...
Is it English? Can I speak English?
It will be broadcast in Danish, but I'll make sure to do my best to get an English subtitles.
All right. Okay. Ooh. All right.
I can say whatever I want.
Can we do English dub and then I'll just like speak over it?
All right. Hey, I want to mention this as well. We've been doing this this podcast for a few months now, and we've had a bunch of guests, and we're doing this giveaway. I just want to remind everyone that we are giving away to the winner of our contest this awesome Chumley portrait.
Yes, bro, I'm selling that to you if I win.
So if you were lucky enough to be on the show, good luck to you. And we will have it at Worlds and hopefully signed by Chum. He's a little busy right now, so, you know.
I'm giving it to you, right? Yes, bro. No cap.
So I have dibs on it, by the way. I got dibs.
Oh, shit. All right, well, thanks again, everyone. But it's time for us to scoop it up.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.